Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
You may be asking, why is Pastor brave? Well, I have an app on my phone where I buy stuff cheap from China. And I bought this shirt because it looked fantastic on the mannequin. But when I got the shirt, I put it on and Leanne's like, OMG, you are never wearing that shirt. Then she told me, she says, whatever you do, do not tell the congregation. I said, you're not allowed to wear it. So as far as you know, I didn't say anything. So come on, hold your Bibles up. Don't be distracted by the shirt. Just thought I'd get that out of the way. It's the elephant in the room, or the flowery shirt in the room right now. Come on, lift your Bible up. Say these words. Say, Heavenly Father, I declare this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit, making me a deadly weapon against the powers of darkness. It is a mighty force for the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, tonight, take the words out of this book, plant them deep into the soil of my heart, and bring forth for your glory a great harvest. Now go ahead, give two or three people a high five, a Bible high five. Tell them they're awesome. Would you also just with me thank the musicians and the singers? Didn't they do a fantastic job tonight? I am just so impressed, so absolutely impressed with beautiful Annika. And I know that she was here a second ago. She's probably making sure those flowers have got water. But Annika and the entire cast and crew who worked so hard over Hero, the rock musical. How many people actually got to see it? If you didn't get to see it, you really, really did miss out. This year was unbelievable. I mean, last year was brilliant. And every year you'll find that we do improve. And that's always the pursuit of excellence, means that you're always improving. But we didn't just improve on last year. I mean, beautiful Annika, who is up the back there. Come on down here, Annika. I want to honor you again. I know that Leanne honored you, and I know we gave you some flowers. But I just want to just highlight what an extraordinary, what a magnificent young lady you are. What a worship leader. I mean, I get here and you're worship leading after pouring out. I mean, she has been out every single night for probably the last 2 or 3 months with Hero, and you're just extraordinary. You're just extraordinary. And there were scenes in there, and one of the scenes was the Roxanne, you don't gotta put on the red, that scene. And the angels are like, Roxanne, and the demons are like, put on the red light, put on the red light. And I thought, isn't that so powerful? You know, and we talked about it afterwards, and it was like almost, you know, accidental that we stumbled into a biblical principle where angels will always call you by your identity. God sees you as who you are. The devil always identifies you by your sin or your shortcomings. So the angels are saying Roxanne, and the devil's saying put on the red light, put on the red light. It was such a powerful scene, such a powerful moment. And this girl is so brilliant that she taps into a creative flow of God that not only took the current scenes to another level, but allowed every single scene to just thrive. There was not one scene, Annika, that wasn't just a masterpiece and a work of art. And we just so love you. Now, is your handsome hubby here?
He's running the cameras.
He's probably running the cameras or doing something. Well, I want to pray for you and your handsome husband. So can he run out? So I just think it'd be just fitting to pray for this great couple. And while we're waiting, let me just say this. Here he is. Come on. Handsomeness personified. So thank you. This is what I'm going to do is I'm not sure whether you guys like Legoland or Disneyland, but I'm going to get you guys a gift a couple of nights away with the kids, but in two different rooms or maybe adjoining rooms. So that you actually get to see each other and then the kids get to see each other, you know, and you just adjoining room at either Legoland or Disneyland or something fun. Because I know the sacrifice, and it is a sacrifice. And, you know, you've been out every night, and so often we can just say, oh, well, you know, Annika's doing everything, but there's always partnership. You know, whether the husband's out means the wife is at home, or when the wife is out means the husband's at home with domestic duties. And the Bible teaches, and sadly it gets missed too often in church life, where you can't just honor one, you got to honor both. So we're going to do that for both of you, just to love on you, let you have a couple of days of just fun and fun with the family and reconnecting with each other, which is so important and just so nice. But stretch your hands out towards this great couple. Father, we just thank you that your hand and your blessing and your favor, and Father, that they were brought into the kingdom for such a time as theirs. And I even see, you know, I just see new springs of new flows, not just in the creative for church, but even in the area of your own businesses and your own finance. Know this because you've stepped into saying, hey, I'll sacrifice to build God's house. You need to understand that God is like, well, then I'm going to put back into your pocket. I'm going to build your house. And it's just a fair trade. God is the God of the fair exchange. You're going to find blessing is going to overtake you. Blessing over you, blessing over your marriage, blessing over your beautiful babies. Father, we just thank you for them. We thank you for them. And even this next year, you're going to continue just to walk in blessing, reaping a great harvest on all that you've sown, on all that you've sown. Father, we love them. Bless them today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, let me just say you both love them both so much. Fantastic. Before I jump into the message, just one more little thing. Just to, you know, I was so impressed. I had no idea, you know, and I almost called the police, because Enrique stole the show on several occasions. We had to keep them outside, otherwise they'd be arresting him for sure for grand theft burglary, stealing the show. You were just fantastic. And just the whole cast. I mean, there was not a star. Normally there's a star. You know, you may have had your favorite or favorites, but this year everyone just excelled. And I got to tell you, you know, this young lady here, who is the dean of a school, a dean of a college, I kept having to remind myself, it's like, you were just magnificent, Mrs. Dunn. You were just exceptional. Absolutely exceptional. But let me just say this, that the object of the church is to bring out the gold that's in you. The object of the church is to bring out the gold in you. Now, how many people know that I love America? Okay, I love America. You know, when God sent me to America, like I just thought I'd won the lottery. I love the United States of America. Probably the first 7 or 8 years, I couldn't make it through a national anthem without crying. Love the national anthem, love the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, I'm passionate about America. If there was a downside that I've seen in America, is what is beautiful about America is our Independence Day. The downside, the flip side of that is that there's a level of independence. I did it my way. And where you can become a superstar. So I had a fairly influential person sitting with me in one of the shows, and he thought that the main girl singing, Ali Andenberg, was my wife. And I said, no, that's his wife. You know, hubby's up there playing on the guitar. And he couldn't understand, like, why I wouldn't have my wife as the center of the story. Because aren't you all about, like, you created this, don't you? Isn't it all about you? Isn't it your show? And the whole way he's trying to interpret, oh, where did you get that guy? You know, how did you hire him? I said, oh, no, he got saved in our church. Now he's on stage. And he's like, what? And so It just, he couldn't understand, because most places it's about the pastor and this is my show. And it's just such a horrible little world. And we just determined that's not who we are and that's not where we are. So I want you to know that at C3, our objective is to help you with the Holy Spirit discover the gold, discover the gifts, discover the talents, discover the anointings, the skill sets, and the abilities that you have, and then find a place where you can begin to have those things deployed so his kingdom can advance. The devil is a liar. He wants it to be the pastor's show. But I'm determined we're going to smash the devil. We're going to find the gold in you. We're going to deploy it. We're going to release it. Somebody say amen. Now, this ties into my message. So, you know, it's a series called Accelerate. So if you want to accelerate your life, you're saying, hang on, I got gifts and talents and abilities. When's someone going to discover me? Let me just tell you, the greatest thing you can do is follow God's principles. And the Bible says that blessed are those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Now, you may say, that's me, Pastor. I go to church. Well, that's awesome. But blessed are those who are planted, not those who attend. A few years ago, they found in an esophagus in Egypt, they found a whole bunch of sunflower seeds. And they estimated these sunflower seeds to be somewhere between 2,800 and 3,500 years old. And they thought, we wonder if they're past the expiration date. So they took these seeds that were in the sarcophagus and they planted them. And lo and behold, within a few weeks, sunflowers were growing. For 3,500 years, the sunflower was in the seed, but it was unrealized. Now, it was in a coffin under the ground, but it was just maybe attending an underground, but it wasn't planted. The devil is a liar. He does not want you to get planted. And he'll tell you, hey, whoa, 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 hang on, whoa, before you plant yourself in C3 South Campus. You know, it's kind of new, and, you know, they're in a spring season right now. You don't know what winter's going to be like. Well, how many people know that when the seed goes into the soil, it's in the soil all four seasons? It's in the soil in the blazing hot summer and in the freezing cold winter. It's made a commitment. But unless you make a commitment, you'll never flourish. And so the greatest thing you can do is plant yourself like a seed. Let your roots go down. Begin to draw from the nutrients and the watering of the river that flows from the throne of God, and you'll find yourself begin to flourish. Fruitless people are usually rootless people. Fruitless people are usually rootless people. Don't be rootless. Plant yourself in the house of God. And listen, you don't have to plant yourself here. There are plenty of great churches in San Diego, but plant yourself somewhere where you can flourish and you can grow. Amen? Amen. Come with me to the book of Genesis chapter 6. The title of my message tonight is, Are You In? Are you in? It's a question title tonight. Accelerate is the goal. Let me pray and we'll get into it. Father, I ask that you would speak through your servant. This would be a word in season for these beautiful people. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, we just came out of Easter. How many people, you know, loved Easter? And how many people, you know, understand why Friday was Good Friday and then Sunday was Resurrection Sunday? You know, how awesome is that, that Jesus died on the cross in our place? So today, you may be thinking, well, hang on, you're going to preach on Genesis chapter 6. That's Noah's Ark. What on earth does that have to do with Jesus? Well, Noah's Ark was a picture, was a snapshot, was God Instagram posting about Jesus. He said, hang on, Noah's Ark was about a boat and a worldwide flood. It was about God judging the earth with a worldwide flood, and a boat would save them. But the boat was a symbol and a picture of Jesus, because God said to Noah, I want you to build a boat out of gopher wood, out of resources that come from the earth. I'm not going to drop a boat from heaven. You got to build it from the earth. It's going to come from the earth, and it's going to save you from judgment on the earth. Jesus came from heaven, but he came as a seed into the womb of a teenage virgin. And then he was born as a baby, as a little human being in a stable. And he grew up and he saved mankind when he died on the cross. Now, let me just say this. There's some similarities. Noah was saved. Noah's wife was saved. Noah's three children, his three boys, and their wives were saved, not because Noah could hold his breath so long. Noah and his family were saved not because they were expert swimmers. Noah and his family were saved not because they could tread water longer than anybody else. Why? They invented water polo. They were the water polo champions of the entire Middle East. How many people know Noah's salvation had nothing to do with his ability to tread water, hold his breath, swim? Noah was saved not because of him, but because of the ark. Now, if he did a shoddy job with the ark, it would have sunk. Noah's salvation was dependent upon the perfection of the vessel that he was in. You didn't hear me. Noah's salvation was dependent upon the perfection, the waterproofing, the judgment proofing of the vessel that he was in. So the question tonight is, are you in? Are you in? Now watch this. The Bible says, after Noah had finished building the ark, there was a door on the side. Noah, his wife, his three boys, and their wives went into the ark. And then, I think it's verse 22, it says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, and so he did. Hang on, let me just find the where it says, and God shut the door. There it is, 7:16, Genesis 7:16. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. Once God shuts the door, it's too late. There are probably people outside, I keep on knocking, but I can't get in. People on the outside knocking, they can't get in. Who can it be knocking at my door? Go away. Don't come around here. Which is an Aussie song, sorry. Anyway, and once the Lord shuts the door, you know there is a time coming, there will be a time coming where it's too late. When Jesus splits the sky, it's too late then. At the second, it's too late. There's going to be a time where God shuts the door and that's it. But right now, this is the age and the dispensation of grace. My question tonight is, are you in? Because if you are in Christ, you are in a judgment-proof vehicle. Now, if I want to go to Australia, I could either walk to the Pacific Ocean, then start swimming, probably not make it, be eaten by a shark, or I can get on a plane. If you want to travel somewhere, you get in a car, or you can walk, or you can get in a bullet train, or a boat, or whatever. There's something about being in something. Tony Stark, whether Tony Stark is in the suit or whether it's the head of the military, whether he's in the suit, doesn't matter who's in the suit. Whoever is in the suit has the full the full power of the suit. It just depends on who's in the suit. So my question is, are you in? Now watch this. I'm going somewhere tonight. In Deuteronomy 28, and we're going to read these verses. I skipped over the Genesis verse, but I want you to read Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, if I can find it in my Bible. Here we go. Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 28. Let me read these verses to you, 1 to 14. Deuteronomy 28, if we can throw them up on the screen. Here we go. It says, now it shall come to pass if, everyone say if. It shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now let me just pause there before we jump into these blessings. Now, I want you to strap on your seatbelt, hang on to your hats, because the blessings are going to be amazing. Everywhere where you read in the Old Testament, everywhere in the Bible, you will find that wherever you see God's promise, it is preceded by a premise. Wherever you see God's promise, that God will bless you, that God will heal you, that God will deliver you, that God will, prosper you, that God would advance you, that God would defeat your enemies before you, you will always find that the promise is preceded by an if. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, if you keep my commandments, if you walk in my ways, then I will do these things. So every promise of God was preceded by a premise. failure to keep the premise meant exclusion from the promise. In other words, if I just think, well, I don't need to do what you say, God, but I want the blessing anyway, God's like, it doesn't work like that. If you worship other gods and if you forsake me, all these curses will come upon you. But if you keep my commandments, if you walk in my ways, all these blessings. Now, let me read the blessings to you. Blessed shall you be, verse 3, in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. So it doesn't even matter where you live. People say, well, you need to move into Chula Vista because there's blessing. Whatever you do, don't move out to East Lake. Don't move. But it doesn't matter where you live. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. People say, hey, move out in the country. The blessing's there. No, move in the city. Blessing's there. You need to say, hey, man, I don't need to. It doesn't matter where I live. Geography doesn't. My blessing comes from another source. My blessing doesn't come from my geography or my zip code. My blessing comes from heaven. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. It says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket. Blessed shall be your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you 7 days. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, which means bank accounts, and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if, everyone say if, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain into your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands, so you shall lend to many, but borrow from none, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And then verse 15, kind of the spoiler, says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the God, the Lord your God, all these curses shall come upon you. So when I read that, you would think that reading that, all these blessings come if I can just keep God's commandments, if I can just motivate myself, psych myself up, attend a Tony Robbins conference and walk on hot coals. Now I'm ready and I've got all I need to fulfill and to keep all of God's laws. But I find that working in me is a sinful nature. It's like a weight in a bowling ball. It's like a bias that when you roll that thing, the bias is going to take it wherever the weight is. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No matter how hard I try, I keep falling short. No matter, because I have a bias. I don't have to teach my children to do wrong. I don't have to teach them how to be selfish. I don't have to teach them how to lie. I don't have to teach them how to steal. You and I were born with a sinful nature, which means these blessings, unfortunately, are out there, but we can never fully grasp them because we can never fully keep the commandments. So my question to you tonight, in the frustration of all of that, is, are you in? Now watch this. In Matthew 5:17, this is where you got to strap yourself in. Matthew 5:17, if we can throw this one on, have a look what Jesus says. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to, come on somebody, but to fulfill. Jesus came to fulfill the law. The reason this is the case is because God knew that neither you nor I could keep all of his commandments. Therefore, we would always abdicate, we would always miss out, we would always transgress, we would always live outside of his blessing. Now, let me just say this, because for whatever reason, a lot of people have a problem with the blessing of God or that Christians should be blessed. If you read your Bible, which I recommend.
Bible reading, proven to make people smarter. Bible reading leads people to ask less stupid questions. Watch this.
In the Bible, Genesis 1:28, God created Adam and blessed him. He hadn't done anything. He hadn't graduated from Harvard. He hadn't won a marathon. He didn't just kind of, you know, win a golf tournament, the Masters. He hadn't done anything. He's just, he's just kind of breathing, and God blessed him. Like that. Little microphone static blessing. God blessed him, and then God placed him in a garden. The garden was the epitome of perfection. Everything he needed, everything he wanted was around about him. Now, a lot of people say, yeah, but you know, Pastor, when he sinned, God cursed man. Well, again, I recommend read your Bible. Because when Adam sinned, God didn't curse Adam. He cursed the ground. He cursed the ground. Then he was evicted from paradise. He was evicted from the garden. And now he had to work against a curse in the ground. The Bible says, out of the ground, the Lord God caused every tree to grow. Out of the ground came every herb. Out of the ground came every fruit-bearing plant. Out of the ground came Adam's future. Out of the ground came all of his nutrients. Out of the ground came his food supply. The ground was cursed. So now we see Adam is having to, by the sweat of his brow and by the toil of his labor, working against a curse, just trying to survive, just trying to get ahead. So God says, I don't want you to live under the curse. I don't want you to live in curse. I didn't create you to live in curse. I created you to live in blessing. Because you and I can't fulfill, we cannot produce in our own strength righteousness. We can't keep all of God's laws, all of God's commandments. God had to take us through the Old Testament to reveal to us his standards, his laws, his promises with the premises, and then Jesus came and fulfilled all of the premises. Jesus fulfilled the entire law. He says, I did not come to destroy them. He says, I came to fulfill them. Now, at the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the high priest would bring a lamb. The lamb had to be inspected three times. Outside, in the outer court, inner court, three times the lamb had to be examined. The lamb had to be 1 year old, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. It had to be a perfect lamb. Three times. If you read your Bible, again, which I recommend, you will find that Jesus was examined 1, 2, 3 times. He was examined by Caiaphas, the high priest, number one, who said, I find no fault in this man. So they sent him to Pilate. Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. Send him off to Herod. Two. So they send him off to Herod. Herod says, I find no fault in this man. This man has done nothing deserving of death, and sends him back to Pilate. Three. Three times Jesus, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, was examined, and three times he was found to be faultless. He was found to be blameless. He was found to be spotless, but it was all part of God's plan because Jesus was the one who was going to die for our sin. Now watch this. Jesus fulfilled the entire law. Nowhere else in the Bible does God look down and say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, except for Jesus. Jesus was the pinnacle of perfection. So let me just say this. The question tonight is, are you in Christ? Well, I attend church. No, are you in Christ? Well, I'm an Episcopalian. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Catholic. Well, that's awesome. But are you in Christ? Not in a denomination. Are you in Christ? Well, I went to a Connect group. That's awesome. But are you in Christ? Well, I went to Taco Tuesday. They had a growth night. Well, that's awesome. But are you in Christ? Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Are you in Christ? The reason you need to be in Christ, get ready. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Throw it up on the screen. Read this. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God. How many does all mean? Is it some? Is it most? How many promises? All the promises. Hang on. So healing? Well, I don't believe healing's for today. Well, my Bible says all. I think that you're teaching, like, you shouldn't teach that God wants people to be blessed and prosperous. I think he's talking about, like, not material blessing, but spiritual blessing. Oh, thank you, Mr. Theologian Jack Wagon, for reinterpreting the scriptures. But my Bible up there says for all. No, it doesn't mean all. It means some. No, it says, when it says all the promises, it doesn't say most. doesn't say just the spiritual ones. All the promises. For all the promises of God. Now, look at the next two words after God. What are they? Come on, somebody. What are the next two words? For all the promises of God in him are yes, and watch what Paul does for effect, and in him are amen, to the glory of God through us. So all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen. So if you are in Christ, man, I get so excited. Because let me just tell you, I'm not smart enough, I'm not clever enough to pack my suitcase in Australia, move my wife and my three little boys to a city I've never been to or seen before, and build what I have. I am not that clever, I am not that bright. This is so far above my pay grade. But you know what I do know? I do know that I'm in Christ. If there's one thing for sure, I remember the day that I died. I remember the day I gave my life to Jesus. I remember the day that I stepped in to Christ and said, Jesus, you take the wheel. You are Lord over my life. If you say go left, I'll go left. If you say go right, go right. I know that I'm in Christ. Because I'm in Christ, I find that all the promises of God are yes and amen. So we drive down to a Bassett Furniture down here, and they got it on the market. And I pray, and God says, all the promises, yes and amen. I'm like, good, we'll buy it. It'll be a great South Campus. And then we see an old 24-hour fitness on Balboa. I'm like, let's get it. So it's our Central Campus. And then we go up north, and yes and amen, yes and amen, yes and amen. And people are like, man, how do you do that? How are you? Man, did you study real estate? I'm not that smart. All I know is if I'm in Christ, if I'm talking about accelerating your life, if you want to know, Pastor, how do I accelerate your life? You don't need to work harder. You don't need to work longer. You don't need to exhaust yourself, exasperate yourself. You don't need to have a hernia. You don't need to have a burnout. All you got to do is make sure that you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, all the promises of God in him are yes, in him are amen. So when I read this, it's good news because it says yes and amen. Now watch this. Hosea 4 verse 6. Hosea 4 verse 6. Very important that we understand this verse. Hosea 4 verse 6. Have a look what it says top line. It says, my people are what? My people are destroyed for what? Doesn't say my people are destroyed from bad behavior. My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. What do you mean by lack of knowledge? No idea what this says. No idea what this says. See, the devil is a tester. Now listen, this is not popular preaching, but I've got to tell you anyway. The devil does have an advantage over you and I. And the advantage is that he's been around for thousands and thousands of years. He knows this book inside out. You need to understand the devil is like a high-powered attorney. He knows this. He hates it, but he knows it. And so what he does in your life and in my life, he's a thief. He robs. And the way that he robs from you, God says to him, you can't steal, you can't take, you can't. He's like, yeah, you know why I can take it, God? Because they don't know that you bless them. They don't even know what they're so busy with their life, they never even read it. Oh, they bring it to church on their iPhone, but they never read it. They just wait for the pastor to tell them what to do, and so it's up to him to try and tell them everything. They never read this word. They don't know what the promises are. They don't know what you're... So I'm just going to keep thieving. I'm going to keep stealing. I'm happy to leave. I know I'm meant to leave. Did you know Jesus had to cast out demons? Did you know he had to cast them out? Nowhere in the Bible says, and Jesus asked the demons to politely leave. Nowhere does it say, and the demons packed their bags and they left. Jesus had to cast them out. Why did he have to cast them out? Because they don't leave voluntarily. Because they're thieves. The devil will rob and steal and destroy from your life if you don't know what God has for you. If you don't know what God has promised you. If you do not know that Deuteronomy 28,
well, that's Old Testament, isn't it?
Jesus did not say, don't think I came to destroy. Don't think I came to abolish. I came to fulfill it. I came to fulfill. So all these blessings are in Christ. And if you're in me, all these blessings are flowing towards you. But if you don't know it, the devil will just keep robbing from you. Many years ago, it's a true story. Many years ago, the Salvation Army told the story where they had a very, very severe, very crippling winter. And there was a very, very old woman who could not afford heating in her little one-bedroom flat. And the Salvation Army were worried about her. And they went in, they found that she had pneumonia. They had to rush her to the hospital. And one of the Salvation Army officers decided they wanted to kind of clean the house and put some food in the fridge and some blankets and some warm clothes. And they basically put out to see if someone would donate like an oil heater or something so she could heat up her apartment, because she could not afford heating. And it was, you know, sometimes freezing in the apartment. There were icicles on the windows. As the Salvation Army officer was going through the house, she sees a photo of this young woman with the Queen. And next to the photo of the Queen, kind of all faded, was a piece of paper. And when she blew the dust up, she was like mesmerized. She went to the hospital where this elderly woman now in her 80s was being treated. And she said, do you know what this is? And she says, I used to work for the Queen. And she says, you used to work for the Queen. I started working for her as a maid when I was 14. And the Salvation Army officer said to her, do you know what this is? She goes, yes, I got it from the Queen. The Queen gave it to me when I retired at 65. She goes, do you know what it says? She goes, no, ma'am. Because I left school at 14, I don't know how to read. It's a check for £25,000 made out to you in 1967. For her whole life, she was living in poverty. For her whole life, she was in 1967, she could have bought the whole apartment block that she lived in. But for a lack of knowledge, she was living in poverty and now had contracted pneumonia and was struggling. There are so many Christians, they got no idea what God did. They got no idea what Jesus has done. They got no idea what God has promised. They have no idea what God has for them. My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. If you are in Christ, all the promises are yes and amen. All right, if you like that, it's going to get even better. Point number two is curse reversed. Curse reversed. So not only are all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, yes and amen. Watch this. Genesis 8 verse 4. If we can throw that verse up on the screen. I love the Bible because the Bible is full of patterns. The Bible is full of little things. You're like, oh, isn't that cute? Unnecessary. But thank you, God. Quite thorough of you. So the Bible says that the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month on the mountains of Ararat. And you're like, who cares? But how many people know that God never puts anything in there just because he's like, Gabriel, we got to fill this Bible with something. Put in the date, you know. How many people know the date is important? Okay, the rest of you, the date's important. Date's important. You will find that there's something quite significant about the seventh month. In fact, the book of Exodus says that in the seventh month, on the 14th day of the seventh month, you shall take a lamb, and from this generation forward, you will celebrate the Passover on the 14th day of the seventh month for all generations. You will celebrate on the 14th day of the seventh month. Jesus was crucified on the 14th day of the seventh month. Jesus was our Passover. But this is not the 14th day. What day is it? What happened 3 days later? What happened 3 days later? What happened on the 17th day of this month? What happened? Resurrection. All right, watch this. So just to help you. So Jesus is a type of ark. The Bible says that the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. Interesting, Ararat is the highest mountain range in the Middle East. It kind of separates Turkey from Syria and the Middle East. It's the highest mountain range. The ark didn't come to rest on Everest, didn't come to rest on Mount Kosciuszko in Australia or Mount Cook in New Zealand or K2. The ark came to rest on Ararat on the 17th day of the seventh month. Ararat is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It comes from two words, two syllables. The first one is arar, if we can throw that up. Arar equals curse. Arar is curse. Ararat, if we can throw that one up, is curse reversed. Curse reversed. When the ark came to rest on the 17th day of the seventh month, when Noah says, "Where am I?" God says, "Ararat." To you and I, it's the name of a mountain, not to Noah. Noah spoke perfect Hebrew. What Noah heard from God was curse reversed. Curse reversed. You need to understand, not only do the blessings of God flow to you because of what Jesus did on the cross, but because he rose again from the dead, the curses that were flowing towards you and I because of our failure, you and I because of our transgression, those curses that were flowing towards you and now flowing away from you, that's what reverse means. When if I put my car in reverse, it means I'm going backwards. It means I'm moving away. Things that were coming towards you that were overtaking you, sickness, disease, poverty, bankruptcy, things that were coming towards you because of Jesus' resurrection, they are now flipped and now they are now reversed. The curse has been reversed because of what Jesus did on the cross. Can somebody say amen? I mean, it's crazy. If you dig a little deeper in Exodus, God says, no longer is this going to be the seventh month. For you, it'll be the first month. You're going to begin your calendar in the seventh month. The seventh month will be the first month. It's the month of beginnings. It's the month Aviv. If you look at the month Aviv or the name Aviv, Aviv means spring. What is spring? New life, resurrection. God says, you begin your life. You begin your calendar, you begin your year from resurrection, that you were delivered from Egypt, that you were delivered from oppression, that you were delivered from slavery, that I brought you out with a mighty hand, that I brought judgment on Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and that I brought you out with my promise, with my power, to a land flowing with milk and honey. To you it shall be the first. But you begin your life, you begin your year living. That's why we got to be born again. When you are born again, resurrection power, baby comes to you, the curse is reversed. Blessings begin to flow because in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, and Jesus reversed the curse. Now, let me explain how it works. So the Bible says, you know, Jesus speaking, that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so too must the Son of Man be lifted up. So that's interesting, that Jesus would liken himself to a serpent. Now, in the book of Numbers, it tells us that because the people's incessant complaining against God, God was ticked, so he sent poisonous snakes to bite them. So, obviously, you and I would know this is not going to stop people from complaining. In fact, it just ramps it up. So Moses comes to God and says, "Will you please stop helping?" And so God says, all right, I got ticked. He says, "Do this." He says, "I want you to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole." Bronze is judgment. Whenever you see bronze in the scripture, it always speaks of judgment. "Put a bronze serpent on a pole and lift it up. And it'll come to pass, anybody who's bitten by a serpent, anybody who's bitten by one of these rattlers, by one of these poisonous snakes, all they got to do is look at the bronze serpent on a pole and it'll nullify the poison in their body." You may say, "Oh, come on. I've studied biology. I'm going to tie a tourniquet. Try and suck the poison out." Wonderful. We'll be at your funeral in a few days, but the rest of us, we're going to look at what God said is going to work. So notice, God didn't say tie a tourniquet, try and suck the poison out, stem the, you know, relax, keep your heart rate down. God just says, look at the pole. Look at the pole. You and I have been bitten by the serpent, and we have the poison of sin causing death in us. And God doesn't say, try a tourniquet or try to, in your effort, in your, he says, just look at what I've got on a pole. Look at what I've lifted up on a pole. That's John 3:14. It's two verses before John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." So Jesus is the serpent on a pole. Now you say, "Whoa, hang on, whoa. That's a little bit, Jesus said it, not me." Now watch this. Most people believe that, you know, Jesus on the cross, he took our sin. If we can throw 2 Corinthians 5:21 up there, I just want to land on this one. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I know that's 17. Go four verses later. Four verses later. There it is. I want you to have a look at this. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to, what does it say? It doesn't say, for he made him who knew no sin to take on our sin. It says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin. To be sin. To, when Jesus was carrying the cross, you better believe he was the Lamb of God. Doesn't get more innocent than a little lamb. He was innocent. He was innocent as they stretched out his arms. He was innocent as they nailed him to that cross. He was completely innocent. But your Bible and my Bible says that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness fell across the land. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken? For the first time. In Jesus' 33 years, he felt the Father tear him. He felt a disconnection. He felt abandonment from his Father. He felt the Father reject him. The reason that God rejected and abandoned Jesus was not because Jesus took our sin, but Jesus literally became sin. He became sin. Yes, he was nailed to the cross as the Lamb, spotless, blameless. But in those 3 hours, God took all the sins of the world, all the sin, and put them on Jesus, and Jesus became sin. Now, this is why. This is why. When Satan was thrown out of heaven, you better believe he was ticked with God. And when he saw God form man from the dust and breathe into Adam, and Adam becomes a living being, he watches in the Garden of Eden. He's there. He watches as God comes from heaven and walks with Adam in the cool of the day. He sees the joy. He sees the delight in the eyes of God, in the face of God. He sees Adam and his father in perfect fellowship. And then Satan crafts a plan. Now, let me just tell you this. If you ever want to play chess with God and expect to win, don't do it. But Satan is arrogant, so he thinks I can checkmate God. This is what he says. I'm going to stab the heart of God. The very thing that you love, the apple of your eye, the object of your affection, your son, I'm going to trick him into sin because I know you, God. You're a God that cannot be unjust and you cannot be unrighteous. Therefore, if I can put sin into Adam, you have to judge him because the wages of sin is death. You're going to have to kill the very thing that you love. And he thought, checkmate, when Adam and Eve sinned. Checkmate. But how many people know that God is smarter than the devil? Come on, how many people know God is smarter than the devil? Because my Bible tells me before any of this happened, God had already created a thing called time. God had already created time. From the very moment Adam sinned, the judgment of God, the wrath of God, the sentence of death was released from God towards Adam. You and I are all sons and daughters of Adam. We are all the offspring of Adam. But God is so smart. Because he created time, the judgment now had to flow through time. So what the Bible says, and this is so brilliant, the Bible says, and it came to pass in the fullness of time, the Christ was born of a virgin and laid in swaddling cloths in a manger. God steps into time as the second Adam. He's the second Adam because he's the second man only in human history to be born without a sinful nature. And Jesus grows till he's 33 and he completely keeps the law. He completely fulfills all righteousness. Meanwhile, the bullet of God's judgment is flying towards Adam, but because it's in time, Jesus is able to be the second Adam and he pushes Adam out of the way. He pushes you and I out of the way and he takes the full. God himself. Now watch this. This is where it gets crazy. When Jesus was on the cross, he became sin. In our military, we have what they call heat-seeking missiles. They'll shoot a missile and the missile will lock in on a target and it will follow that target till it hits that target. God's wrath and God's judgment is against sin. God's wrath and God's judgment is like a heat-seeking missile programmed towards sin. So you and I deserve death as sinners. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, he took all of my sin, took all of your sin, and then he became sin. So now that God's wrath kind of rerouted and came straight to Jesus Christ hanging on the cross as the serpent on the pole, he became sin. And he took the full brunt of the wrath of God, of the judgment of God upon himself, so that you and I could not only be free, but so that the curse could be reversed, and so that every promise in the scripture is now yes and amen. Because of what Jesus did. So the question is, are you in Christ? Come on, there is no God like this. There is no religion, no Buddha, no Muhammad, no Confucius. Nobody has done this for mankind. That's why we preach the good news. That's why we're down the front jumping up and down and praising and doing Hero the Rock musicals. And because how good is God? He redirected away from you and away from me onto himself. Jesus became sin. So now everything changes. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The Bible says that in Christ, you're more than a conqueror. In Christ, you're an overcomer. In Christ, you're a new creation. In Christ, you're seated. In Christ, in the heavenly places. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. The question is, are you in Christ? Because if you are in Christ, the promises are yes and amen. Listen, the greatest way to accelerate your life, and I'm living testimony. 32 years ago, I made a decision. I want to be in Christ. I want to give my life to Christ. 32 years later, I've got to tell you, my life is so far above, so far beyond my pay grade. I couldn't work this hard. I couldn't work this smart. It's just that all the promises of God in him a yes and amen. Don't let the devil keep you out of Christ. Don't let the devil keep you away from Christ. For goodness sake, come hell or high water, you make a decision. I'm going to be in Christ. No offense. No negative Christian. No, I'm going to be in Christ. Nothing's going to separate me. Amen. Come on, would you let me pray for you tonight? If you receive that word, give God a great clap offering. Come on. How good is God? I mean, how good is God? The Bible is amazing. Just close your eyes. I want to pray for people. If you're here tonight and you're away from God or disconnected from God, or you know that you're not in Christ, or maybe you think you are, but you're not 100% sure. Friend, I've got to tell you, if there's anything you want to be sure about, it's this one. I don't want to live my life thinking, man, I thought I was, but I realized I... No. This is the one thing you want to make sure, that you are in Christ. It's really simple. Is he Lord of your life? Have you surrendered all that you are to him? Are you still driving? Are you still calling the shots? Or have you moved over riding shotgun and let Jesus take the wheel? If you're not in Christ, you need to be in Christ. If you're away, come back. The devil will try and seduce you. Tried it with Jesus, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and their splendor. But Jesus is like, dude, really? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You can keep your soul and walk in a blessing that overtakes you, overflows, abundant over your life, so that you can be blessed to be a blessing to people around about you. Maybe you're here tonight and all you've known is religion. Jesus didn't die to start a religion. He died to repair a broken relationship. Maybe you're here tonight and you're just far from God. Friend, don't leave the same way you came in. I'd love to pray for you tonight, that you'd be close to God. So while every head is bowed, every eye closed, if that's you tonight, you need to be in Christ, or you need to come back to Christ, or you're away, you're far, you're distant, you need to come close. If you're any one of those categories and you want me to pray for you, would you quickly raise your hand and say, hey, Pastor, you're talking about me tonight. Would you pray for me?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.